As we get started, as Pastor Chris mentioned, we're going to be studying the questions that Jesus asked. And our passage today is going to be in the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke. So if you have your Bibles with you today, go ahead and turn to chapter 8. And the verses are going to be 22 through 25. Luke chapter 8, verses 22 through 25. Today, we're seeking to study and answer a very crucial question that Jesus asked. You'll see it towards the end of our passage in verse 25. The question is, where is your faith? Where is your faith? I want you guys to be thinking about that as we're going through the passage and challenge your hearts. Allow God to challenge your heart so that way we can be shaped and formed by his word and live out in faith as well. As we seek to study out this passage, my plan is to dissect it into three main steps to help us be more faithful. Three main steps to be more faithful, specifically to God's word, inherently, because it's God's word, also more faithful to Jesus Christ, because that's why we're all here, correct? Amen. Before we get digging into the passage heavily, I would like to give you just a little bit of context here. In the book of Luke, Luke's a doctor, and he's writing this to all that they may believe in Jesus and have faith in Jesus. At this point in time, you can see at the beginning of verse 22, now it came to pass on a certain day. It doesn't give us the specific day, but it does say a certain day. In this certain day, Jesus has been teaching and preaching and performing miracles, building up until the time of his death. Okay, so that's where we're at kind of in this point in time. And with that being said, I'd like to start with a little illustration. As some of you may know, I work at Alpine Adventures over the summer. So that is one of my favorite jobs. It's definitely my favorite job that I've ever had. And at Alpine, one of the biggest or one of the most favorited, I would say, activities that requires a lot of faith is rappelling. Has anybody ever been rappelling in here? Some of you. Cool. So you might get a little bit more of what I'm talking about, but I think you guys should be able to track along with this illustration, because maybe not all of us have been on a boat in a storm with Jesus himself as he's calming waters, but some of us can understand a rappelling illustration. So what I brought with me today are some basic needs for rappelling. First off, we need a solid anchor point. Can you guys see my anchor point back there? It's kind of hidden, but this I wouldn't rappel off of myself. I wouldn't rappel off of that, but if you could imagine with me that it is a strong bomber. Bomber is a word that we use in the New River Gorge, which just means inherently strong tree to be able to dangle off the edge of our mountain. So journey with me to the New River Gorge. My preference is Beauty Mountain, if you guys have ever been there. It's super, super pretty. Beauty Mountain, imagine this to be our cliffside, okay? Are you guys with me so far? This is our cliffside. There's our anchor. And here is our lifeline. Our lifeline, our rope that we use to be able to get down the edge of the mountain. That's a crucial tool, would you agree? We have to have a lifeline to be able to clip into. Now, note the words that I just said, clip in, okay? That's very important, very important. When you rappel, you have to, first off, set up your system. You set up your system with your anchor, with your rope, and then it comes to a point to where you've got to make a decision to do what? Clip in, right? So you're clipping in, and this is the first step of real faith that it takes to rappel. Now that you've clipped in, ideally we'd clip in guests back here, but you clip them in, and then the second step would be to walk back to the edge of the mountain, and then thirdly, the most intimidating for most people, would be to lean back over the edge of the cliff. So maybe some of your hands are sweating and you're getting a little bit nervous thinking about leaning over 1,000 foot or 100 foot. 100 foot, be a little more realistic. 100 foot cliff. And you can imagine it takes faith. It takes faith to do something of that sort. Would you agree with me? It takes serious faith. It's no small task, and it can be really daunting. With that challenge, that physical challenge that we can all kind of relate to in mind, let's read our scripture. Starting in verse 22. Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water. Their boat was filled with water. They were in jeopardy. And this was no small situation. This was a serious task. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. We're suffering. That word perish in the actual language means we're about to be utterly destroyed. We're about to be even consumed and killed by this storm that's coming by. So you can imagine that this is a situation where the disciples have a lot of fear in their heart. Let's see their response. Let's see Jesus' response. And then he arose. He rebuked the wind and the raging water, and they ceased. And they ceased. And there was a calm. And he said unto them, where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying to one another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the waters, and they obeyed him. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you again for the opportunity to preach here at Faith Baptist. I'm very humbled before you and honored and just grateful, Lord, to be able to read the word that you've given us, to be able to speak the word that you've given us, and to be able to also apply it to my own life. I pray that as I'm speaking, it won't be my words that come through, but yours, and that you will touch hearts and draw people closer to you and your son. In your name, amen. So in my illustration, I gave you an anchor point, right? And then I also gave you a lifeline, correct? And then we also have the mountain, the cliff. In this illustration, I want you guys to picture our tree or our bomb or anchor point as God the Father. Strong, immovable, powerful beyond even our own comprehension. Way, way beyond rated to handle the tasks and the weight of the situations that we go through in our day-to-day life. Secondly, I want you to consider this rope, our lifeline, as his word. Okay, as his word. So when we're going rappelling, we have to clip into a rope for our lifeline. But in our spiritual walk, our daily walk, every day we have to be clipping into this book. Every single day we have to wake up and decide that we're going to live according to the words of God, because these are the words of God. And as we clip in, that's our first step. Okay? That's our first step. We haven't, and you might think that this is an easy task for some. For some people, it's easy when you're rappelling to just clip in and stay up here on the edge away. For some people, it's very difficult to clip in. Even though you're not near the edge, the anticipation of, oh no, I'm about to go over the side of a mountain, this is really, really scary. The thought of even just taking that carabiner, that choice, clipping in can be paralyzing for some people. And I see that in verse 22a, they went into the ship. When they went into the ship, as I'm reading this, I see it as they're clipping in. Okay, are you with me? They're clipping in to Jesus. They're clipping into his word. Because Jesus had asked them, let's go over unto the other side of the lake. So we have a mission. They're not just clipping it. They know that they're about to go somewhere, and it's going to be potentially challenging. In my mind, I see it as maybe a calm, sunny day, and they don't know that the storm's even coming. But for us, as we're clipping in, it can be somewhat challenging. He said unto them, let us go over unto the side of the lake. So their goal is to do what? They're going from point A to point B. Would you guys agree that God loves us too much to leave us where we're at? Amen. Me too. Me too. I'm very, very grateful that I have seen the grace of God and that he has loved me even through my imperfections and held me and kept me safe. So they go to the edge. That's my second point. So our first point is we've got to clip in. Before we can even think about making a decision to go over the edge and to live for Christ, we have to clip in. So we've done that. And now, as you see in 22b, the disciples, they launch forth. They launch forth. So they leave the port. They're going on this mission to get to the other side of the lake. And they don't know what's coming, right? They have no idea. But Jesus does. Jesus knows what's coming. Because he knows all things. He's all powerful. He is God. And as they're launching forth, I want that to be kind of our, back to the illustration, I want that to be the image of us being clipped in. We're now clipped into God's word. And as we're taking our steps back, does God's word ever come unattached? Absolutely not. If it does, we're in a life-threatening, critical situation. A situation to where if we fall, we're falling to a physical death, repelling. In a spiritual sense, we're falling to a spiritual death if we don't abide by this lifeline that Jesus, that God the Father, our anchor point, has given us. So we have now launched forth and we're on that top edge of the mountain. Let's just imagine I'm clipped in here, okay? I'm clipped in and we've made it thus far. And then what happens in verses 23? There came down a storm as Jesus was sleeping of the wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Now, I don't want to scare anybody away from repelling necessarily, but I do want to tell you a little story about something that happened while I was belaying out there at the New River Gorge. There was a gentleman who was very, very confident, to say the least. And as he started picking up speed, I was trying to tell him to slow down. And, you know, there's a set of rules that he needed to follow to be able to get down this mountain safely. But he kind of wanted to do it his own way. He was trying to be bold and show his youth group that he could handle it. Well, as he started to get to the edge, he just was moving too fast. He didn't decide to lean back. So I said, okay, we need to lean back. And as he's leaning back, he just kept on going and going and going and going. And then the next thing you know, he's upside down. He's upside down, hanging from this mountain by the lifeline. Okay, he's hanging upside down and he's completely disoriented. He's looking, I mean, you can imagine as you're hanging upside down over the New River Gorge that things might be a little bit scary. It might seem a little serious. You're in a position to where you think, I don't know how I'm going to get out of this, right? I don't know how I'm going to recover, get back up on my feet, and keep on going. But he was clipped in. He had a lifeline, and he wasn't going anywhere. He might have thought that. He might have been afraid in that instance and thinking, I'm not sure what's going to happen after that. But the lifeline, in a sense, Jesus, in this sense, knew that the disciples were going to be okay. I knew that he was going to be okay. But in that moment, he didn't know he was going to be okay. So let's reread that verse again, verse 23. There came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water. Just like in that song we just sang, right? Storms will come in our life. Trials will come in our life. It will be difficult. Things are not always easy. Just because we decide to clip into Jesus, to clip into his word, to walk to the edge of the mountain, doesn't mean that things are always going to go utterly smooth in our Christian walk. It never promises us that in his word. In fact, it could be quite the contrary. So, kind of a little caveat, I want to ask you guys, are you willing to accept that challenge? Are you willing to accept the challenge of the difficulties that will come with making a decision for Jesus, to live for Jesus, to clip in, and to actually go on this mission that he's calling us to go on? And they came to him and woke, saying, "Master, Master, we perish." That's not what the guy said, but I can imagine that's probably what he was thinking. "Master, Master, we perish." And Jesus arose and he calmed, what's that say? He rebuked the wind and the raging water. Aren't you glad we serve a God that commands the seas and the skies? I said I was humbled earlier, and I'm humbled to speak as a student, but I'm also humbled before a mighty creator. I'm very humbled to think that he could use a speck like me on this large earth to be able to prepare fruit for his kingdom, to be able to live for him, even though I don't deserve to live for him. I thank him for his grace, and I thank him for his power. I thank him for his power. So we see them, we see him calm the waters, calm the seas. Do you guys see him doing that in your life? Do you see him taking trials that maybe you thought were way, way larger than what they may have seemed? I like to think of like mountains out of molehills. Stuff that we see in our eyes. I had a pastor give me an illustration one time that God doesn't just see one float in the parade, right? He doesn't just see what's right in front of him. A lot of times that's us. We see what's right in front of us. We see the problems that are passing by, and it just catches our eye, and we just focus and focus and focus on the problem, or the good things maybe even that come by. Maybe we get too focused on the good things that happen in life. But God sees the whole parade. He sees the whole flow. He knows what's coming before it even happens. And that's what's happening right here in the scripture. In the scripture, Jesus not only commanded the storm to stop, but how do you think the storm started in the first place? He's the one that allows these things to happen in our life. And for that, we shouldn't be afraid. We should be grateful, because he can't just, he who started a good thing will bring it to the end. He will finish it. And he knows if he introduces a trial into your life and you put your faith in this lifeline, in his word, in the anchor, in God, that he will have your life in his hands and he will keep you safe. That's me too. Don't allow me to neglect myself in this, because I have to be reminded all the time to clip in to the right things. We can't clip into the things just of this world, because they'll drag you to and fro, and the wind will blow you all over this earth. It'll take you places you don't want to go. This will never fail. This will never fail. Every time that we decide to clip into Jesus, clip into his word, he will take us through his plan, and he will use us in ways that we can't even imagine. So let's recap just a little bit. The first thing that we have to do when going rappelling and in our Christian walk is we have to clip in. The second thing we have to do, see in verse 22b, we have to launch forth. In this case, we're walking back and rappel, but in our Christian walk, we're launching forth on this mission that Jesus is calling us to. And then when the storms come, we have to, in a sense, remain calm and know who holds us. We have to know the Creator and understand that he's capable of doing immeasurable things. Immeasurable things. At the very end, we see the disciples' response, right? We see the way that they act, and they're almost innocent. They're just like completely astonished that this has even happened. They've seen the miracles that Jesus has been performing all the way through, but now we're at a point to where you can imagine the waves are crashing, the winds are blowing, and the disciples are beside themselves. They think they're going to perish. And then all of a sudden, Jesus says, be still. Like, the storm itself just completely stopped. The boat stops rocking, and they're in a place not of comfort necessarily. What does it say there in verse 25? What at 25b, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the waters as they obey him. So their response isn't necessarily a response that I see them leaning in. It's more of a fear or a respect. Nevertheless, that's really my ultimate challenge for all of us here today. Once we've done step one, and once we've done step two, we've gotten to the edge, we want to do the rappel, right? We want to get to the bottom. That was our task. That was our mission in the first place. And we can't accomplish these tasks if we don't do the first, second, and third step in that order. And that third step is completely leaning back into the system, leaning back into God's system, and fully trusting him with our life to get us where he promised us that he was going to get us. So in closing, where's your faith? Is your faith in things of the world? Is it in yourself? Or is it in the one that made the world and the one that made you? I want to challenge you to live every single day for Jesus, because without him, we wouldn't be here at all. He loves us so much that he would introduce trials to grow us, but also he loved us enough to save us, to go through a brutal death on the cross, to be risen again 3 days later for not just your souls, but mine. And for that, we should never get tired. We should never get tired of that. We should always be motivated to live for him, because he's given us everything. He's given us everything. I want to close by turning to John 1:1. If you guys are in your Bible still tracking with me, turn over to John 1:1. I said in the beginning of the message that the tree is God, right? And then this is the lifeline that he gave us. He gave us his word. That was the example or the illustration, if you will. Now, I want you to see what the word truly is based on these scriptures. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear the witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, he received him not. But as many received him, they gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God, our anchor. And the word was made flesh. Whew. So the reason I just read all of that scripture to you was because when we're clipping into the word, we're ultimately clipping into Jesus. We're clipping into the one that sacrificed his life for us. So if you aren't in the word every day, I want to encourage you to be in the word every day. And even more so if you haven't even heard of this Jesus, now you have. And I want anybody here that is going through storms that is struggling with fear, anxiety, temptation, drugs, alcohol, addiction, death, loss, mourning, all these storms that we go through, to know you have a lifeline. You have a lifeline, and you don't have to be lost in the storm. You can know that you're in the Redeemer's hands, and you can know that if you make a decision today to follow him, it'll change your life. It'll change your life, not just here on earth, but also your eternal life. If you didn't get anything from my message at all today, please get that. Okay? Please get that. The word is essential because the word is on every page. Every single page, it points back to Jesus. As we're reading it, we should be looking at it with that lens, because that was the whole reason God's had that perfect plan from the beginning when he had the word. It said it right there in the first verse of John, right? In the beginning was the word. And then in verse 14, the word was made flesh. It's been an honor to be here in front of you and to be able to speak these truths. I'd like to remind you of the three steps that it takes, not to repel anymore, but to really be faithful. Because we're answering the question, where is your faith? First, we must clip into the word. Make the decision early. Make it early to clip into the word. Then, when we are clipped into the word and we understand where it's wanting us to go, take that second step of faith. It gets a little more challenging. It gets a little more uncomfortable as you're getting closer to the edge, the difficulties. But don't let it stop you. Clip in, launch forth, and then thirdly, lean into it. Lean into God's word and live for him every single day. Dear God, thank you for your word. Thank you for your son, who is the word. I pray that somebody here today will make a decision to come to you if they have never made that decision before in their life. I pray that these words were heard and that they were not just of me, Lord, that they were of your spirit. Thank you for all that you've done. God, we're so small. But you use small things for great purposes, because everything that is good comes from you. We pray today at Faith Baptist that you will use our small lives, our faith, even the size as a mustard seed, to grow us, to become more like you, to live for you, and to have just a new set of eyes for eternity. Please allow us to see where our faith is today, tomorrow, and days to come. In your name, amen.